My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the tremble in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating, and the video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he is still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits, and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Hour number 2, and if you missed any parts of hour number 1, the recording is up. Go to Show Archives. You can find all of that information there, as well as the link to our Clout Hub, and we are up on Clout Hub live right now, but that recording will be up on Clout Hub as well at Pastor Greg CGR, at Pastor Greg CGR. Want to thank all of you that watch us over there. We busted about 115,000 just the other day, so great to have all of you watching. We thank you for that. Great to be on here on TECN-TV, and you can always follow all of the TECN-TV broadcasting at ChosenGenerationRadio.com, at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. And if you go to the listen page, you'll be able to listen live. And so we break every hour out, but you'll be able to listen live as you are right now And then that automatically RSS feeds and uploads to all of the podcasts that are out there. iTunes, iHeart, TuneIn, Spotify, Deezer, GeoSavant, Podchasers. I don't know. There's about 14 different ones that it updates to. And so each hour gets updated to there at the end of the hour, which is really cool. So like within 15 minutes of us jumping off air here at 10 a.m. Eastern for this segment will post and spread, and you'll be able to grab it as a podcast. So that's kind of a neat deal. You can follow us that way, and we hope that you will and be educated. Every single day we talk about things here on the program. I pray it's a spirit-led program talking about the issues of the day through a biblical lens. And it's crazy to me that things that are coming out now, all the stuff about the Wuhan laboratory and so on. Do you know when we covered that? 3 years ago. 3 years ago, Nan Sue and I walked everyone through all of that. You can find the post and all of the broadcasts of it recorded. And we followed the trek all the way back to 2019, which is when they started all of that, and then walked it forward. Even asking the question, gee, I wonder why 7.6 million cell phones went silent. Nobody told you about that. All right, my next guest is here, and we're going to talk about what I believe is going to be significant for every single person listening or not listening, quite frankly, right now. And that is the bubble, the crash, and the currency. And she is, this is Money Talk with Melanie. This is her sweet spot. And I'm so honored that she's joining me now each and every Wednesday here. And we won't always talk about money. I just say, we didn't last week. We introduced Melanie last week. And if you missed that, go back a week and listen to it, because it's an incredible story about how she came to faith and how she also came to understand a conservative constitutional republic view of America. Melanie Collette, what a blessing to have you.
Thank you for having me. I am so honored that you would have me every week. Honestly, I am the one who's honored.
Oh, man, you're gonna get me all watery over here. Stop that.
I'm just telling the truth.
All right, moneytalkwithmelanie.com is the website, but I want to get into that because I just in my spirit I feel like, you know, everybody keeps talking about the bubble. And, you know, I was watching, I mentioned to you in the green room, I watched multiple times. I've watched the film Margin Call, and I just recently saw another one that's along the same line that talks about what was going on and how they were, you know, shorting those mutual funds and building value. And, the guy, it's actually the guy from The Office is one of the main characters in there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But he, you know, he kind of sniffed it out, and then he went down to Florida and started going through these neighborhoods, finding empty house after empty house after empty, I mean, million-dollar homes that were empty, and then talking to neighbors and being like, what's going on down here? And they were like, you know, people are walking away, and then going and talking, because he initially talked to the guys that were giving out the loans, and they're just like, hey, they pay me to write the deal. Well, do you verify any income? They looked at each other and laughed. Yeah, right. Yeah. No, that doesn't matter. You don't verify income. Well, why? They want the house? We were told give them the house, so we do the paper and give them the house.
It is, you know, it's frightening that kind of thing happens. And, you know, another thing that's happening in the housing bubble is, you know, these private entities coming in and buying up property because and converting them into Airbnbs or rental properties. which is very lucrative for them because, the cost of housing and the interest rate is really high right now, and just the general cost of housing is high, and it's leading to, one, a housing shortage and a shortage of affordable housing. So you have, companies like BlackRock who will come into a neighborhood and buy all these, houses that are abandoned and convert them into rental properties. I mean, honestly, it's, from a business perspective, it's actually super smart. Like, right. They already have kind of the infrastructure in place probably to create, that segment of their business. So you can understand why they want to do that, but it is creating a crisis and a bubble for the average, would-be homeowner.
Aren't we repeating also the issue relative to the stock market and the buildup of the market and again, you talk about subprime loans and you talk about, things that are given an A credit rating when they're actually more like a triple B, okay?
Don't we have an A credit rating right now?
No.
Oh, we don't.
We're at an A. Didn't we get downgraded to? I mean, well, we're I like an right. A. We got downgraded to an, like an A minus or something like that, right?
How do you even have an A when you are over $1 trillion in debt? Like a couple trillion, actually, dollars in debt. How does that work? Like, we're barely getting the interest paid.
Let me see. So, federal government was given a rating below AAA. S&P announced a negative outlook on AAA April 2011, downgraded to a AAA plus. I'm trying to see when they're even putting when the last downgrade was. No, that's not doing. Could get downgraded if a default. Excuse me. Let's see, every few years, Fitch, America has a perfect credit rating with Fitch and Moody's, not because of its fundamental finances. So because we keep making the payment is the bottom line. They're not looking at the debt, they're looking at the payment.
So and,
go
long
ahead.
Story short,
yep.
With that is once again the government gets treated differently than its citizenry, right? Because we, credit scoring companies count our debt, 30% of our credit score is our use of credit has to be at 30% to maintain a high rating. So that means to, in order to keep a high rating as far as the part of the score, that is your debt or your credit usage. If you had a credit card with a $9,000 limit, in order to be positive or graded positively, you would only have to borrow $3,000 on that credit card.
Okay.
If you're over $3,000 on that credit card, that lowers your credit score because you were over 30%.
All right. Now, so I'm looking at this as you were talking. I was reading a little bit more about this, and this is what pops out to me. And just tell me if this makes any sense to you. So the globalists are basically saying the Republican side, the conservative side, is saying, hey, no more debt, no more debt. We're not going to incur any more debt. We're not going to vote for any more debt. We're not going to allow this to continue. The globalists are saying, hey, you better pass all this. You better create money out of thin air, and you better do it now or we're going to download you. Folks, I want you to understand what's happening here. What's happening here is that they're using finance as a lever to take over America. Because
the goal is communism,
yep.
Right? That really is.
Yep.
So, what happens as far as housing is concerned, the faster the housing prices escalate, the less people are going to want to buy them. And if that happens, what happens is inflation gets too high and people are like, it's too much money. I can't buy. And that is what inflates the market and creates what they call a housing bubble that will burst. And the same thing, by the way, can also happen in the car loan market, the student loan market,
right?
The credit market in general. Like, it's not just the housing bubble that has a possibility of crashing the economy in general.
Well, and this whole idea or this whole concept that they put together about paying off everybody's student loans or student debt, again, you know, where does that money come from?
People really do think, it's like the conversation I've had about reparations with people. People honestly think that the government is some ambiguous entity. Many people do not get the connection between the like you paying taxes and it coming out of your paycheck, it going to the government, and then them funding these programs. A lot of people don't get that. And I've explained it like over and over and over again. People are like, but still, yeah. And I'm like, okay, but do you realize that in order to give that kind of money to people, they would necessarily have to raise taxes. And those two things together are going to make more things expensive and drive inflation, which means people are going to have a big problem now, especially if wages don't keep up with the inflation rate, which as it stands now, wages are not keeping up with the inflation rate. So, you know, ideally, that's what you want wages to do, to kind of be in harmony with the economy. But that's not what's happening right now. But people don't really understand that it will negatively affect your pocketbook when you have to pay more taxes.
Well, I don't really understand why. It's taxes and fees. You've got to think about it in terms of, you know, you get paid for work, for something that you produce. You produce something, people pay you for what you produce, and what you've produced then generates income for other people as well. So there's this cycle of finance that is taking place.
Right.
Government is not established to be a business. Government
I really do think that their goal is, like, once the bubble bursts, especially in the housing area, the housing space, that they're going to say, oh, well, you know what? Since there's all these houses that are on the market, we're going to have to significantly lower. They're already doing it. Significantly lower the standards. Like, I remember when they did that in 2008, it led us to the state. Like, they're going to lead us just to another bubble with their policy.
Right.
Or they're just going to say that the government just has to step in and just provide housing for everyone.
Well, that's what I think. I think what's happening now is that we're moving to the place where they're going to say, we're going to buy up the housing, or we're going to take over. We're going to take over the bank. We're going to take over the housing. We're going to federalize all of it. And then we're going to dole out houses to who we deem worthy to have a house. And you know, this is where all of the DEI and ESG is going to come into play, because they're going to give housing to the ones that they want to appease, and that's their move. And it's interesting, because I think that, you know, and I'm going to talk with Reverend Clenard about this coming up next hour. Relative to how you've got so much death and sterilization and murder and single parent home and so forth in the black neighborhoods, right? And he's been battling this for years and years with his blackgenocide.org, but they keep pushing it, and I'm loving these TikToks and reels supporting Jason Aldean.
I did one. It's 5 days ago.
Uh-huh.
That's still being retweeted.
Yeah.
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 At NJGOP Diva on Twitter. That's my Twitter handle.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
I didn't even name myself that. Somebody else did. A friend of mine did, that happens to be our mayor.
Ah, well, see, you need to find me I'm back on Twitter, kind of incognito.
I'm not following you already.
I don't know if you are. I need to look and see if that's the case. But yeah, because you know, my original handle on Twitter was permanently banned.
Ah, really?
Yep, lifetime. I got a lifetime ban. Because I called Eric Swalwell a Chinese spy whore.
But he's a Chinese spy whore.
Well, that's kind of what I thought too. That was pretty much what I thought. I said, well, he is a Chinese spy whore. So I am at CGR schedule, and I'm Pastor Greg CG4I. So it's at CGR schedule.
Oh, really?
Yep.
You really faked them out this time, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time. Big time.
I don't understand these people. Oh, here we go. Gotcha. I don't quite understand. I just don't. And when you bring these things up, and you should see all the hateful responses that I'm getting. One person said, Coon says what?
Oh, my gosh.
That was just one of the very ugly tweets. Somebody else called me a mammy.
All right. Give me your, you are what now again?
At NJGOP Diva.
At N. JGOPDIVA.
Yeah.
There you are. I got you. I'm following you now.
Now, why didn't Ken or whoever posted the tweet about the show tag me?
Well, that they did?
He didn't.
He didn't.
I'm on the exceptional cons Twitter page, because when I Googled you, I Googled Pastor Greg.
Okay.
And the tweet came up about me being on, oh, he has Monday through Friday. Okay. I don't know. Oh, joins me as a news contributor on Wednesdays.
Got it.
He never tagged me in the tweet.
All right. Sorry. Well, he may not have known what your tweet handle was. So.
Really?
Yeah, it's possible.
If I had known he tweeted me, I would have retweeted it.
You would have tweeted back. I would have tweeted you.
Like I just did.
There you go. All right. So I am going to.
Does your audience mind us doing?
I have. You know what, folks? We're having fun here. I hope you're with us and having a good time. Because we're just getting at it right here.
If you're listening, you should follow Pastor Greg, right?
Yes.
You should follow Stacey.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
And the Exceptional Conservative.
Yep. Yep.
The Money Talk with Melanie.
All of that good
fun stuff.
These are
things you can do while we're doing our housework.
Yep, there we go. All right, I just jumped it out there. So there we go. All right, we got about 4 minutes or so left. You know, they've used this Jason Aldean thing to continue to drive the race issue home. And again, it's, you know, about, I mean, do they really believe that Black Americans haven't figured this out?
Oh, they do. And the sad part is it's because a lot of Black Americans haven't figured it out, sadly. Like, a few of us have, but just not enough. And, you know, it's, to me, it makes no, like, I don't understand how it makes sense. So this guy does a song about the, you know, random acts of crime and violence and violent protests, right?
Right.
Featuring, in the video, features all this violence. And he says, try that in a small town. And, you know, and I would venture to say that many people who are criticizing a song have never lived in a small town. So they probably just really can't relate. I live in a small town, and I can tell you that is all facts.
Right. Because
in a small town that I live in, they tried it. And we imported every 5-0 from all over the state.
And it was done.
It ended up being a peaceful protest.
Right.
Like it should be.
Right. Yeah. Hey,
but we don't play that here.
Yep. If you wanna express your opinion, you can express your opinion. But busting windows and looting and setting fire
and walking around committing crimes.
Yep, walking around beating people up and smashing out windows and trying to, you know, intimidate old ladies and whatever. That crap don't fly.
And the other thing that I actually really like, I posted this on Facebook the other day. We print our arrest blogs or logs. They're all they're printed in a local paper, and they are emailed if you subscribe. You can subscribe to get that emailed like every week or every month. Everybody who's been arrested.
So we know. So you know who's messing up.
Yeah. So
there's an accountability in that. Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Yeah.
Around and find out. That's all he was saying.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, yeah, there was a very minor attempt. I live just outside of a very small town, and there was a minor attempt to try to raise, you know, do a little something here. And we had some we had some fellows in pickup trucks that went and put an end to it.
And we also called some pastors,
yeah,
to pray,
yep,
and do a prayer circle. And I think, you know, that was probably what really protected us.
Yeah,
but we called in many extra law enforcement from all over the state.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from the sheriff's department and locals, yeah, and all that. And we also called in our pastors and,
yep,
had the pastors do a prayer circle. You know, our mayor very wisely talked to the crowd, came,
yep,
down to say, you know, what's going on? How can I help?
Mm-hmm.
And it's very hard to have an angry protest when that's the kind of leadership that you have.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Final seconds. Are we in a bubble? What are you predicting? About 30 seconds.
We're in a bubble in all areas. Like I mentioned earlier, the car loan area, prices are sky high. Student loans, especially because of the policy situations, housing, credit cards. We're in a bubble, and it's scary. Save your money. Try not to. I know it's hard with inflation, but you got to save your money and try not to run up your bills. It's tough.
And as much as you possibly can, I imagine, try to get out of debt. I mean, your best position is if you can't afford to pay for it, you know, now may not be the time to get it. So there you go.
People lack basic financial literacy. And I just want to just say one more thing in relation to that. I am doing financial literacy for adults on my Melanie Collette Presents page on,
okay,
Facebook.
Okay.
So if you go to Melanie Collette Presents, I'm doing financial literacy basics on my Facebook page for adults. I taught it for 12 years.
Excellent. Melanie Collette directs?
Yes. Melanie Collette Presents is the presents. Name of the page.
Melanie Collette Presents on Facebook. All right. Thank, yep, you, Melanie, so very much. Coming up next, Claire Lopez, Rick Manning, join us. We're going to talk about the bombing in Ukraine in Odessa. We're going to talk about the open border and the child trafficking, and all that comes up next here on Chosen Generation Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom.
My father fought for him World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. And, you know, children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present. One's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing, okay? The schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in a child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health,
you know
anti-aging,
tithing
and
love offering right from your computer.
Vibe is available.
Visit www.pastorgregyoung.org to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Thanks so much for being with me. I greatly appreciate you joining us. And joining me now, my co-host for this segment, the president of Americans for Limited Government. And also joining us is our national security expert. And we we just always have a great conversation, and I'm looking forward to this one as well. I welcome Rick Manning and Claire Lopez to the program. Great to have you all with me. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Always fun.
Great to be with you both.
Well, you brought something up, Claire, that I guess maybe we should begin with that, because it's something that I don't think a lot of people think about. And that is, is the grain production out of Ukraine. And it kind of ties into what I'd ask you relative to the bombing in Odessa and whether or not that's going to have an impact on the relationship with China. So why don't we begin with that and give us your thoughts on that, if you would.
Yeah. So dating back to last year, 2022, there was an agreement in place among
Russia, Ukraine, Turkey, Black Sea, bordering countries, that grain shipments out of Ukraine would be allowed to go out. And that's critically important for a lot of poorer countries, especially in Africa, especially North Africa, across, Tunisia, Algeria, Libya, Egypt especially, then also Sudan, Eritrea, Ethiopia, which countries have to import a large percentage of their caloric needs for their population and then subsidize that. And so a lot of that takes the form of wheat made into bread. Well, it turns out that Ukraine, plus Russia, supplies something like 12% of the entire world's caloric needs, and a huge percentage of the wheat and other grain, corn and barley exports, plus seed oils too. And that agreement among those countries held for a while until just recently. Here now in July of 2023, the agreement fell apart. The Russians reneged on it and have bombed, as you say, Pastor, have bombed Odessa, which is, of course, a port city on the Black Sea, which will have dire implications, not just for the Chinese relations. I think they'll probably work that out, but dire implications for these countries that need to import grain.
Rick, you made a comment in our green room relative to a Biden and a policy that supposedly was great foresight. But
well, last year the concern was, 50% prior to the war, 50% of the grain exports went through Odessa and adjacent ports. The remainder of the exports went through the ports that were destroyed, Mariupol, that got destroyed in the last and taken by the Russians. So that is when those ports were being taken and they were no longer usable for grain exports, the Biden administration, Joe Biden, came up and said, well, we're going to increase the amount of winter wheat produced in America to try to fill the void. Mm-hmm. And America has millions of acres of land, which has been taken off of production mm-hmm. for wheat and corn and other things under Conservation Act purposes that could be reinstated for production of wheat, for winter wheat, and would be good for that purpose and used in the past for that purpose. And not an acre was taken off. The promise that we were going to fill the void, that farmers were going to be encouraged to fill the void, was effectively made and forgotten by the Biden administration. America could help fill the void to prevent this starvation. We couldn't fill the entire void, but we could help fill that void. But the fact is the Biden administration is anti-agriculture production and is attempting to maintain and expand the taking land out of agriculture production for reasons that are, that we all can guess. Claire, you talked about the price of
fertilizer.
What impact does this whole situation have on the price of fertilizer?
Well, here's the thing, too. In addition to all those grain products and seed oils that we've mentioned, Ukraine also produces about 50% is the number that I've seen of the fertilizer that American farmers use. Why we don't produce our own beyond me to know, but something like 50% of American farmers' fertilizer is imported from Ukraine, maybe formerly from Russia too, some. But that, of course, has been curtailed drastically for all the reasons you were just talking about. And so although American farmers apparently can get the fertilizer they need for the acreage they're planting, the prices have gone through the roof. We have farming folks in our family with whom we were having a family reunion back on the 4th of July, and this is what they told us, that they can get enough of the fertilizer they need. They grow wheat and corn and soybeans, but the prices are skyrocketing.
One other thing that that people kind of neglect on this is in terms of shipping out of Ukraine, the future episode, we can talk about the impact of higher prices for grain production in America and what that means at the grocery store for all of us in the next 6 months. But we also have in Ukraine in particular, people say, well, why can't you just put it on rail cars and take it out using rail cars? And from what I understand, and correct me if I'm not wrong, but one of the remnants from the Cold War is that the rail system in Ukraine that runs in Russia and Ukraine doesn't use the same gauge of track as the rail system in Romania and elsewhere. And that's deliberately because Russia moves its troops using rail. And so is it, so rail is not really an answer, is it?
Well, you're absolutely right, Rick. That is my understanding of the situation as well, and particularly west out of Ukraine through into Poland. There are ways to overcome it. Obviously, time-consuming and expensive, offloading from one rail car on one side of the border to rail cars on the other side of the border. Or as I understand it, it's possible to raise up the cars, change the wheel gauge on the cars, and then resume. Time-consuming, super expensive, not realistic for use of rail to export as a replacement for ship export, rail export out of Ukraine. Absolutely right.
And that all, I mean, that's all implicated then in both pricing and just in basic supply. I mean, that, you know, pricing certainly becomes a concern, but the greater concern is the fact that you're going to go in and discover empty shelves. And I would assume that when it comes to fertilizer, as an example, if our farmers and ranchers cannot get fertilizer, that's going to be a major, major blow to our own ability to be able to respond to this situation. It in my mind, it also, you know, deals with, and Rick, you've pointed this out, that, you know, our war situation, this supply of munitions that we have going on is depleting our own supply. And we've all three of us talked about the fact that we don't have the ability to create these things in America. Now, let me preface that by saying we have the ability, but we don't have it currently because we're not producing the components necessary for all of this production.
Correct.
How do we solve this, guys? How do we get, I mean, fertilizer and crop and all of that? Go ahead.
I'll give an answer that's not very limited government, but the fact is we have something called the Defense Industrial Production Act, and there are certain things that have to be, that we need produced in order to protect this country. Donald Trump used it to make PPEs, so we had masks and all that kind of stuff and medical gowns and the like to deal with COVID. It is and made more ventilators than any world will ever need. Fact of the matter is, we have the capacity to say, fertilizer is an important thing. We have to be able to make precious metals, rare earth metals. We have to get them out of the ground, and we have to be able to smelt them here. We have to be able to convert them from rock to usable metal here.
Right.
Those are things that the President of the United States can do and should do to be able to overcome the stranglehold the administrative stranglehold we have put on the production of things here in America, and to emphasize the ability to have aluminum, high-grade aluminum made here, high-grade steel made here, dependable, not dependent upon China, not dependent upon India or other places, dependent upon America and American workers to do it. That's in our interest. Are we in a situation that is... that's dire? Yes. We're in a World War II production need situation. And unless we have the capacity to meet that need by having those industries domestically up, running, and vibrant, unless we have that, we will find ourselves in a very short war that we're unable to fight.
Clara, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree completely. I think in the time since World War II, perhaps, America has gotten away from the idea of some of these industrial products that Rick is mentioning, rare earth elements, aluminum, steel, and not to mention fertilizer and the components for it, gotten away
climate
from
change.
Thinking of those as national security related. And we have to turn that around and
Green
start
Party.
Thinking that way again.
Sorry, I wasn't me. I'm being facetious, but it's you know, no, climate change, Green Party,
Those are,
environmentalists.
Well, and the fact that the Chinese basically told, I don't remember who was over there talking to him, but
Blinken, wasn't it Blinken?
Maybe it was Blinken. Basically told him that, you know, we're really not going to follow the, really worry about any timetables on dealing with the green stuff. You know, backing away from their pledge to get to do what we're being to, having to do by 2030, basically backing away from the Paris Accord. So that's where we, you know, we have people who have a vested interest in America failing. Those people are overseas, but it's also people who have, people have money interested in an international economy and not the U.S. economy, and don't really care if they make their money in the U.S. or they make it in China or they make it in Bangladesh. They don't care. And the World Economic Forum has been very clear that they see the future of the world, the 21st century of the world, in China. They don't see it in the United States. They don't see it in free enterprise. They don't see it in capitalism. They see it in controlled economies and controlled populations. That's what and these are some of the biggest businesses and biggest world leading, the most prominent world leaders who sit there and say, you nod their head that China's the future. That's why we're seeing what we're seeing. And it's people like the listeners of this broadcast, the viewers of this broadcast, who say, no, that's not where America wants to go.
Amen.
That's why we have to stand up and say, no, we're not gonna play your games anymore. We're gonna start demanding that you do what's right for America.
Claire?
And that means go ahead, Claire.
The other
Listen
thing
to me,
is
Mr. Hawk. Mr. Hawk, how about that, huh?
The American economy is really the engine of the world economy.
Yep.
China's economy is faltering right now. Don't depend on that.
That's right.
If America's economy falters any more than it already is, that affects the entire world.
But America's economy can't be propped up by continuing to debt service ourselves either.
Yeah.
You know, and that, I mean, we just had the conversation with Melanie Collette in the last half hour where we were talking about how all of these credit agencies in the last month or so are trying to apply pressure to our Congress to get them to raise debt ceilings and increase our debt, or we're gonna you know, mess with your credit rating. Well, that's financial terrorism that is being brought against the United States by globalists and by these world financial organizations like the WEF.
Well, once again, 10 years ago, crazy people like me and perhaps Claire and undoubtedly you were all pointing to Greece and the failure of Greece at the same credit.
We did right here on this show, right here on this show. Yep.
Yeah, they drove Greece into bankruptcy and forced them to cut their social security systems in Greece.
Well, and they also went into, I don't know if it was, I think it was in Crete, but they also went into personal bank accounts and drained their people's bank accounts to pay the country's debt.
That's exactly what happened, and that's why when you sit there and you start talking about digital currency in particular, it makes it so the money isn't yours.
Yep. You
know, if you can't take it out of the bank, if you sit there and you know you can't access your money, if you have to ask permission to access your money, it's not your money. Just it's numbers on a sheet, balance sheet, but in your money.
That's the same argument I make about kids. If you have to go to the school and ask the school for permission to take your blood out of their institution, they have kidnapped your child, flat out.
Yep.
They have kidnapped your child, And you need to wake up and recognize that these schools are kidnapping kids every single day. And if your child says something that triggers them, guess what? When you go to pick up your kid, they will not be there.
Say, we do live, we're living in a brave new world. Claire, you follow what happens with the pressures, international pressures and stuff, and how people get, countries get manipulated from international pressure. How do you see this whole kind of idea that the banking systems are beginning to try to pressure the United States government into policy actions based upon our indebtedness?
Well, I'd have to preface this by saying I'm not an economic expert at all, but I do see things the same way that you're seeing them, that these pressures coming from supranational organizations are having an effect here, because people here are allowing it, because they're going along with it. All we would have to do is say, no, we're not doing that, and that's the end of it, but they don't do that.
Well, I tell people this all the time. Folks, look, there are still some small local banks, and there Lime Bank is a more national, becoming a national interest, but they are independent. They're a Patriot-based bank. There are others that are doing it. John Rich and them have established another bank that's along the same lines. Get your money out of these international interests. Wells Fargo is an international bank. They're an enemy of the country. Bank of America is owned by China. They are an enemy of the country. Get your money out of these institutions and go to local banks. Support your local banks. Support those that are patriot-driven, and control where your funds are being held. You have to. You have to. It is critical right now.
Yeah, I'd say, we face a lot of challenges, and we haven't even talked about any of this stuff in D.C. But the fact of the matter is, America is under pressure from around the world, and the answer that we have right now in our current government is to succumb to that pressure, but try to. Only succumb as much as they can the politics of the United States will stand. And the fact of the matter is, rather than succumbing to the pressure, we have to push back. We have to create environments where we are self-sufficient, and where we are able to, and truthfully, where we create a North American trade zone that really matters, and is one that where we are able to have people in Nicaragua, right? Nicaragua's a bad example, Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, Panama, people in South America who are coming north, where there's industry being built there as well. So we're able to, for all the low labor, where people want labor, low labor costs, that's where you need to build those things, because you don't want to be dependent upon transportation systems. First of all, I have to go across the largest ocean on Earth, and transportation systems that are vulnerable, and things that you can't get via rail or truck that is close enough that you can also defend it. So that's our interest. Our interest is a North American interest, and it is not. And quite honestly, given the fact Canada has gone completely nuts,
I was just going to say,
interest is from America South, because Canada is going to become under, unless Trudeau is
ousted
office.
Yeah.
He's
all right. So I go, no, okay. Longer. Okay. Mr. Hawk, I gotta tap you down for a minute. Cause okay. You'll just keep okay. going.
Call me Henry Clay.
Yeah. You're running. What do they call that? When they keep talking and keep talking, the filibustering, you're filibustering. Claire, one of the things I mentioned about kids and children in schools and so on, but there's a segue in there to what's happening at our southern border and the child sex trafficking and that whole situation. And yes, we want to have that relationship with Mexico, but quite frankly, Mexico right now is run by cartels, and cartels are making all their money off of recirculating and trafficking children. Well, talk to that.
It's not just the cartels.
Agreed.
Unfortunately,
agreed.
It is United States taxpayer-funded Department of State funded NGOs, non-governmental organizations like Catholic Charities that are working all of the above hand in glove with the cartels to traffic human beings, including children, into forced labor situations, into forced membership in cartel gangs once they get here to pay off their fee. Have a look at these two films. One, Sound of Freedom, which ends at our southern border, and the next one that takes off from the southern border, if you will, defendtheborder.org. Our 43-minute film documentary there is called Death County and the River of Broken Dreams. And that talks about exactly what you're getting at, Pastor, which is the trafficking of human beings, but especially awfully of children into the sex trade in the United States.
And look up,
our NGOs are complicit.
And look up the testimony that Ashton Kutcher made in front of Congress regarding his organization, Thorn, T-H-O-R-N, which is a digital entity that is searching out and finding these predators and finding, they have rescued 6,000 kids, 6,000 children.
Yeah, well, so has Tim Ballard's organization called the Underground, what is it, the Underground?
Right.
I could be getting the name now.
Yeah.
Railroad.
Yeah.
In any case, that's Tim Ballard, the original.
And not to take away from that, but what was powerful about what Ashton said was, is he's like, look, we've created this entity because of the level of digital expertise that's a part of it. Department of Homeland Security and the FBI had a three-year-old child that they had been watching video of for 3 years, and they finally came to us and said, well, we can't find him. And he's like, I mean, think about it. You're asking a digital company run by an actor to have to find these kids because Department of Homeland Security and FBI can't do their job?
Won't do their job.
Well,
I agree.
And I want to say, too, regarding these Catholic charities, I have been calling these people out for 10 years. I am persona non grata with a lot of them because they're housed right here in Texas. Okay. Mm-hmm. But here's the issue. The issue is their whole program is get them across, get them and process them in. And then within 30 days, cut them to the street.
They're releasing them to people they do not know who they are.
That's my point. Checks. That's what I was going to say. As soon as they release them, they put them into the hands of smugglers.
One number for people to remember. Since Biden took office, the number is 100,000. That's how many children have come across our border who we don't know where they are.
Yeah.
They came across a border, they were in our custody, and we do not know where they are. Ashton Kutcher's group has saved 6,000 children. Tim Ballard's group saved 6,000 children. That means there's 88, that shows you the magnitude of the problem. And that's not in Cambodia, that's in America.
Right here, right here. All right, we're out of time. Thank you both. I again, as always, it is such a blessing to have y'all on the program. Because you give such information that I think is so critically important for our audience to hear and to understand. And folks, I just hope you will grab this and replay it. You can find it at the show archives. It'll be up there as well as the link to our Clout Hub where it remains. And just this last week, we hit 115,000 viewers at Clout Hub. So very pleased, to have that and grateful to those that are watching and that are acting, that are taking action. All right, I'll be back. Hour number three coming up right now. You're listening to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topics off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. All right, thank you, folks.
That's all, folks.
Oh, my goodness. Hey.